page, Sticky Wicky web page. Looking for a true sage, having on the knowledge. Dodging all the trolls like Michigan Eds, and amended real letters because we're curious kids.
Yes, the academic website. The conversation pairs questions from very curious children with academic experts to answer them. And this week, the question is all about bees. The question's from 7-year-old Finn on the Sunshine Coast, who wanted to know, how is it that bees make honey? Yes, I know we see it. We know that bees make honey. We know that they definitely do. But how exactly does that work? Well, to help us with this one, we have Cooper Shelton, who was the project manager for Bees for Sustainable Livelihoods. It's a program that's run by Southern Cross University. And I asked Cooper, where do we begin with this one?
Well, it's an excellent question. It depends on what sort of bee you are, but ultimately the primary food source for bees is nectar and pollen, and what produces nectar and pollen is flowers. So we're looking at all our angiosperms, which are flowering plants, and the bees are very busy, and they're not called that for nothing. They can visit up to about 50 million flowers every day, and you've got as many as 60,000 bees in every colony, and so they sort of work together as a team to make decisions about where the best flowers are in the environment, and they communicate with each other using a whole range of different means, from bumps and noises and even dance moves, which we refer to as the waggle dance. And they sort of communicate where this food is, and they fly out. They can fly anywhere up to 5 kilometres to search for this flower and their sweet nectar, and they can visit up to, 50 to 100 flowers per trip, and then they bring it back to the hive. So that's sort of the short version of how they go out and collect nectar from the environment.
Okay, so that gives us the nectar, but then when do we get the honey?
So it's a good question. The nectar is then brought back to the hive, and a different bee, like within the hive, another worker bee, but it's a younger bee called a nurse bee or a house bee, will collect this nectar, and then they'll pass it to other bees, and then it'll go up into the top of the box. And there's a whole bunch of little cells within a beehive that are made out of hexagonal sort of beeswax, and they'll start putting the nectar in there. And when the nectar's inside the bee's honey crop, lots of people think that, honey is basically bee spew, but it's not true. There's actually a separate sort of container which the bees keep it in. It's separate to the stomach of the bee. So once the nectar goes into some of these cells, there's enzymes in there that start changing the sugar chemistry within it. And they also start fanning the honey to reduce the moisture content. And once the moisture content goes below about 20%, then they sort of cap it off with some beeswax and seal it so it can stay ripe for many years to come.
Okay, so it's nectar that's been treated with an enzyme that and is then sort of purified down a bit, that some of the excess moisture is taken out.
Yeah, that's it. And the honey can last for a long, long time. And basically the bees store it for dearth periods, which is basically a period of time in the future when there's not going to be much, in flower that's coming up. So you might be looking at a long winter or a drought or something like that. And that's what the bees are sort of saving that honey up for.
So honeybees are basically pessimists.
They're optimists. I'd like to think that they're optimistic. They're very selfless little creatures. They look after the greater good of their colony, and they're always making decisions as a team. Lots of people think that bees, there's this one queen bee that's the boss and tells everyone what to do, but in a form of a monarchy. But it's actually not true. They're actually one of the most purest forms of a democracy. They vote on resources and needs together. And they do amazing voting systems to be able to come up with the best possible solutions together.
Okay, we've got an election in Queensland coming up. What should we learn from the democracy of bees? How do they sort of put forward their vote?
Well, that's an excellent question. It's a big question. I guess they're just very selfless. They're thinking about the greater good of everyone, and they're not too bothered about their own concerns in lots of ways, which is hard to do in terms of human nature. But I think, if you have a sick bee, ultimately you don't have to tell a sick bee to self-isolate. It does it because it cares about the greater good of the colony which it lives in. It takes itself out of that place. So even in the COVID context, we can learn lessons from bees.
Okay, cool. So there's a few other, like, the whole secret life of bees is totally mysterious and amazing. And there's a few things that I wanted to get back to. The enzyme that helps to make the nectar into honey. Can you tell me more about the enzyme that helps to make the nectar into honey?
Yep, so it's an inverting enzyme, and basically it changes the sugar chemistry. So you have different types of sugars within nectar, and they just basically change that. And in that process, they start to, it basically enables the honey to be stored for a longer period of time and reduces its potentials for crystallizing, basically, because there's more sugar in honey than can actually be dissolved. So it's actually like a physical process which enables that. So lots of people, when they get, you know, you might buy some honey and you leave it on the shelf for a little bit, or in your cupboard, it might go hard and crystallize. There's actually nothing wrong with it. It's just a physical process which has changed because of fluctuating temperatures, and you can actually just make it nice and runny again if you just warm it up to the hive temperature, which is similar to a human body core temperature.
And you also mentioned that bees communicate via a dance, a kind of waggle. If humans were to do that, what would it look like?
It looks very funny. I'm sure you'd be very popular at the pub. I haven't seen that one yet, but it should be in my dance repertoire. I should probably start practicing. Basically, the waggle dance is like it's like a circle, but imagine a line in the center of that, and they go up one side of it, doing a bit of a waggle back and forth, a zigzag, and then they turn around a semicircle and come back down to the bottom, and they waggle their way back up to the top again, the zigzag, and then they go back down the other side. And based on the time and distance which they sort of walk on that dance, they can work out where there's food resources that they're sort of casting a vote for relative to the sun. So it's the distance and direction relative to the sun when they come out of their hive. So they're pretty amazing. They do some pretty complex trigonometry.
Wow. So I'm just trying to think of, like, when you have, say, 10 people, back in the days when everyone could socialize freely, if you had 10 people and you're all trying to decide where to eat for dinner, that's a complicated process, but bees have it all worked out, and they can get agreement amongst 60,000 of their friends about where to go and what to consume.
Yeah, definitely. And not just for nectar. Like, we often, whenever we think of bees, we think of honey, but bees are actually out there doing lots of things. They're pollinating, you know, up to a third of our food production. Our agricultural global food production probably made up by about 35% is pollinated by bees. It's valued at over $577 billion.
So yeah, but they just do that by accident, don't they? Don't they do that by accident while they're trying to collect the nectar?
Well, I guess you could say it's by accident. It's nature's design, I guess. But they're interacting. So the flowers produce nectar to attract the bees, but they also collect the pollen as a really important food source for themselves. And they basically collect the proteins that are available in the pollen is what enables these bees to grow a lot of the time. So beekeepers are out there not just looking for, you know, the different trees that have flowers, but also those trees that have good pollen production as well. Some trees produce pollen and nectar, but you don't always have that. So some trees might produce good nectar, but not much pollen. And they're also collecting other things like resins and saps to create propolis in the hive. And they use propolis to seal the little cracks and joins so that they don't have cold drafts coming in. And one of the propolis actually has really amazing antimicrobial, antifungal, antibacterial properties. And that sort of keeps the whole hive pretty sterile. So they're very busy.
How do the individual bees know what their job is?
That's an excellent question. It depends on what sort of bee you are. And a bee's job is determined by its sex, and the sex is determined by the queen. So the queen bee lays eggs up to 1,500, even 2,000 eggs per day for up to, you know, 5 years potentially. And she's got this unique ability to designate which eggs will develop into female worker bees and which will become male drone bees. So the male drone bees, they don't really do any work. They're pretty lazy. They make up about 10% of the colony's population, and they spend their whole lives basically eating honey and waiting for the opportunity to mate. The worker bees are all female, and they've got a whole range and a long list of jobs that they're involved in.
Well, Cooper, thank you so much for introducing us to the private lives of bees. It's fascinating.
No worries, Kat. It's an absolute pleasure catching up with you.
ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland with Kate O'Toole.